I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Morton, joined this week by Mr. Lance Lasser. What's up, Lance?
What's up?
Was that Cyborg movie coming out this year? Was that the...
It's never coming out.
Wasn't that the plan? Actually, pull that up real quick. When was that DCEU? Was that Cyborg movie supposed to come out? I think it was this year.
Shut it down.
But anyway, yes, we're talking about the season 5 episode of Smallville, Cyborg. And in Smallville, the official companion, season 5 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. Creator Al Goff had this to say about the use of the character. Cyborg is an interesting character with a very relatable dilemma.
Being black in America?
Very true. What does he look like? We'll get there. But he goes on to say, quote, "There were some parallels between the two characters, Clark and Victor, because Victor had some secrets and some things about him that he didn't know how Catherine would respond to if he told her. He didn't know if he should tell her about what had happened to him, about these new powers that he had, and what he had become physically. At the same time, Clark was struggling with whether or not to tell Lana about his superpowers, what made him different from everyone else. So there was a connection. I think there was a bond there, perhaps more so on Clark's side, because Victor didn't really know what Clark's struggle was, but he knew something was going on, and that meant there was a strong bond." So that's their end with the Cyborg character. I feel like they saw the response to Aqua. Now, let's just do that again.
Yes.
Who can we use, right?
Yeah, well, especially after, like, you know, Run was so successful. Let's capture this lightning again with Aqua, and then there's like, well, like, what? Who other Justice League DC hero can we use?
Or Teen Titan. Which is funny because, you know, he goes on to be in the Smallville Justice League.
Yes.
We're like, he wasn't in the Justice League. Well, he was in the Justice League
starting
in 2011. And I agree, like, for a 21st century Justice League, makes sense to have Cyborg on there because, I mean, the world is just so cybernetic now, right? The internet.
That is true.
Yeah, the technology. It made a lot of sense. We're like, all right, let's put together Justice League. Mm-hmm. Although I love Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to lose him on the Justice League.
Yeah.
I think he made his first out-of-the-comics debut in, like, the Super Friends or something in the 80s, or...
I think so, yeah.
Because, I mean, I didn't really know who he was, that he existed until Teen Titans, right? I mean, he's what everybody... Teen Titans, yeah. Right?
Dun, 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 dun.
Teen Titans.
When there's trouble, you know who to call.
Which, you've seen all the Teen Titans?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a handful of episodes, so I was like, this isn't Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah. No, like, it's funny. Like, with Teen Titans, when it first started, I was like, all right, this is whatever. But then, like, towards the end of it, I was like, okay, we're getting towards something. And then, you know, it stopped. And then now we have Teen Titans Go, which, you know, a good section of fandom was not very happy about. But then they came out with Teen Titans Go to the movies, which was great. So, like, I appreciate their self-awareness with that TV show, even though it's not what we wanted. But then we end up getting, as a result of all this, we end up getting Young Justice, and there's all this stuff.
Yeah,
that kinda
happens. Young Justice is definitely the spiritual successor to the DC animated universe,
yes.
In my opinion. So, yeah, Cyborg, as a character, right, he has a few interpretations. Now, obviously, the cartoon interpretations, but talking live action, this was the first, as Smallville often was the first live action interpretation of Cyborg.
Yeah.
Played by Lee Thompson Young, the famous Jet Jackson.
That's correct.
Which I never saw.
I was a huge fan of famous Jet Jackson. And famous Jet Jackson has a cult following, I would say, because, like, it's remembered fondly by a lot of people. You know, it's a Disney Channel show, and it was very popular. Like, it was very well received. A very unique show. You know, he plays a Young plays an actor playing a superhero on TV. You know, it just kind of it's funny like how much, you know, fondness people think about with that show. And also, like, what's interesting to kind of note about that show is that there were lots of they had a lot of big name guest stars on that show, which is kind of crazy that, like, some of the people they think about, like, that were on the show back in the day, like, for, you know, like, for brief guest spots. So some of these names of people who were on that show back in the day as a guest: Hayden Christensen, Rachel McAdams. You have Destiny's Child was on that show.
All three of them?
All three of them, right? So, like, I mean, it's crazy. Like, those are heavy hitting names. Rachel Skarsgård was on that episode. Was on an episode of that show.
Black Canary from Birds of Prey.
Exactly.
And Alice
from Batwoman.
Batwoman. Oh, another Batwoman connection to this episode.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that.
You know, like, there's Kathy Lee Gifford was on that show. Regis was on that show.
Well, so, Regis and Kathy Lee.
Exactly. So, but it's just funny, like, how many people, Britney Spears was on this show. Like, they got big name people to be on guest stars on the show. And probably, like, the ones for more Smallville connection, Aaron and Sean Ashmore were on that show.
Were they in the same episode?
Yes. Okay. Of course they were.
So that makes sense.
Of course they were.
What are you doing, Smallville? You cast these twins as two different characters, and no one made a joke. Hey, you know, he looks kind of familiar,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Come on, Smallville. So how long did that show run?
Because
I know a lot of people talk about, like, I know everybody is a famous Jet Jackson.
Yeah, three seasons.
Okay. It's a good run for the Disney Channel. It was the Hannah Montana of its day, right? Was that
I would say
so. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah.
So, you know, Lee Thompson Young, I mean, you've seen him in this, obviously. And then there was
Rizzoli
an episode.
And Isles.
Was he in Rizzoli and Isles?
Yeah, man. Okay. Everybody's favorite show to make fun of for some reason for a time, like, because it was a show that everybody knew existed, but, like, I don't think lots of people
well
watched.
It's all those TNT shows, like Men of a Certain Age, My Boys.
Yep.
What's the other one with the lawyer, like Check Please?
Oh, Franklin and Bash.
It's like the male spinoff of Rizzoli and Isles. I'm sure they, if they didn't have a crossover at some point, they needed to have one, right?
Yeah.
That's true. What's it, the King Phil skit where he's like a woman's basketball coach? He's like, he was early, new
Isles.
But the what I was going to say was there was an episode of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, where he shows up and he's like the young up-and-coming agent. And there's an agent.
Yeah.
Agent Ellison is the main law enforcement character of the show, chasing down the Terminators and the Connor family. If Ellison is like the Mulder in that show, X-Files analogy, Lee Thompson Young's character is like all the other normal people who are like, you're crazy, man. Why are you chasing robots and stuff, right?
Mm.
But it was the only one episode.
He might have been.
I mean, had the show lasted longer, he might have been a little more. But
anyway,
yeah, I mean, he's a great actor, and they brought him back. I wish they would have brought him back more in
Smallville. I agree.
Obviously, he comes back in Justice. And then, unless I'm forgetting something else, he comes back on a screen in Salvation, and that's it. I think when people think about the other heroes of Smallville, I think he's right up there with, you know, obviously everybody thinks of Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as far as fondness goes, I still think a lot of Green Arrow would be first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say The Flash, a.k.a. Impulse, would be second.
Yes.
Just because he was the first episode and stuff. And now, and Cyborg and Aquaman are probably exist in the same space, if you will. But I think Aquaman probably is more memorable at this point just because he came back more, did more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he had that Patriot episode in season 10 with Mera, you know, so he had more storyline there. So I think that's probably why. So I guess he'd be fourth Cyborg on the hierarchy of the Smallville guest heroes. What do you think about that?
I think that plays in the tracks. And, you know, in just in general, that's kind of where he kind of ranks in some hierarchies for just things in general. Like, he is not a, you know, A-list, B-list character, no disrespect. It's just, you know, he's a character that starts off and kind of like, and like, even as he got older, like, he was a teen titan for most of his, and just a titan for most of his career before getting, you know, his call to be in the Justice League.
And the new 52.
Yeah, and so when he became, like, if an official member of the Justice League, that was a big deal because this is a character that has mostly existed as being part of a different team. And so him changing teams was a big deal, first and foremost. And then also, like, you know, elephant in the room here. This is a black character, right? And so for this show in particular, for Smallville, after Pete left, it's just, you know, a bunch of white people on this show, right? So, like, he's the first, like, probably is the first black person that Clark has talked to since Pete has left. So that's an interesting point, number one. And number two, like, you know, you were talking about, like, how with the New 52, like, it makes sense how for Cyborg to be a member of the Justice League in this, you know, modern and more technological world, which is true. But also at the same time, the higher ups are probably also at the same time going, thank God he's black, because without that added aspect, I doubt he would probably be on the team. So it's good that he served both of those types of roles.
And as far as live action interpretations of Cyborg, we have Lee Thompson Young here. We have Ray Fisher in the DCEU. He was teased in Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice when Wonder Woman was watching the viral marketing material for the Justice League film on her laptop. And I was like, why are they wedging these characters in here, right? I'm like, Flash, Cyborg, whatever. Surprisingly, I really enjoyed Flash and Cyborg in the Justice League movie. There were a couple, like, because I think they kind of had a bond going, like, okay, we're like the kids here. And, yes. And like, because you have the hierarchy of those heroes, right? We have Wonder Woman and Batman up here, and Superman when he shows up. Aquaman's doing his own thing, and they're like, you know, they're digging up the grave of Superman together. Yeah. Like, those little moments were nice. I really enjoyed those characters. And I thought Cyborg was, his story was kind of could have been, you know, the heart of Justice League, as we all know that movie was re-edited to hell, right? Mm-hmm. But his ties to the Mother Box and all that, so... I really did like Ray Fisher as Cyborg. Now, he was supposed to have his own movie. Lance, did we look up when his movie was supposed to come out?
Yeah, April 3rd, 2020.
April 3rd, 2020. So just 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So topical. I'm glad this is why I timed the podcast this way. unfortunately, that episode has been, that movie, like so many other on the DCEU initial slate, like, let's see, Justice League Part 2, the Green Lantern Corps, The Flash.
Yeah.
The Flash has gone through, I think, four directors now.
Where's my man Dirk Nowitzki?
Shut it down.
Let's go home.
But they can't shut it down, Lance, because people like Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Shazam to a lesser degree, although I enjoy all three of those quite a bit. So
those are the best three things that they've done so far to date.
The problem is... at some point, they're going to have to make a Justice League 2 and address that Batman and Superman are different.
Yeah.
Although I really like how Shazam got around it.
Yeah.
It's like a guy in a Superman suit. We don't see his face. So could a character like Cyborg sustain his own film? Because as you said, he had always been a member of a team before.
He's right? Also, like, you know, now he's on Doom Patrol with Jovian Wade.
Okay. Now, I haven't seen Doom Patrol. You've seen a couple episodes, right?
Just a couple, but he wasn't in those episodes that I saw.
Okay, very good. So we have no insight into his role on Doom Patrol, but I've heard it's good. I've heard people have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There's just so much to watch out there. Podcasts to record.
Yes.
Commentaries to make.
That's true.
Right? Star Trek to complain about. So there's only so much time in the world for these things, but I will get around to Doom Patrol because I have heard good things about it.
Yeah.
That's continuing. I know they're coming back for a second season.
Mm-hmm.
So Cyborg lives on in live action that way. I don't, like, before I saw Justice League, I'd be like, why? No, why does Cyborg need his own movie? But after seeing it, I was like, no, I would like to see more of Ray Fisher as Cyborg. And I feel like in the New 52, in the story arc where they had the crime syndicate come over from their Earth, they had the Grid was like the cyborg, like the all cybernetic cyborg villain. I thought he was a very interesting AI villain. Now, AI villains get overdone. See, always complain about Star Trek, as I just mentioned.
Yes.
You guys can look that up. But
Control!
It's like the people making new Star Trek, and I'm talking about Star Trek Discovery Season 2, Star Trek Picard Season 1, it's like their only note is like, okay, let's have, like, what if we made it a computer and it turned evil, man? Like, what a fresh idea. But that's the way they did Grid.
Yeah.
Was interesting. And I think, okay, if you make him the villain of a Cyborg movie. Now, can we have a Cyborg trilogy? No. But I think if you have a movie, that's the Cyborg movie. That was a good story. I mean, move on. And then he becomes just a team player, as he has been in the rest of the film. So,
that'd be cool.
But yeah, those aren't, as I understand it, there are no further plans for anyone outside of Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Shazam. And as much as we loved Shazam, obviously it wasn't as successful those last two. But we got Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming out with Black Adam.
Yeah.
So that's going to kind of carry on to Shazam 2. Obviously, he'll fight Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we all know, villains get their own movies these days. So that's like Black Adam is getting his own movie.
That is correct.
So there you go. There's a lot of pregame for this episode. The character Cyborg. Last thing, there's one deleted scene in this episode. And it's Lex Luthor looking at a laptop, which is tracking Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no context for this deleted scene. It's just on there with Lex looking at a laptop. It could have been before they find him at the Kent farm.
Okay.
Because I guess with that scene in there, it's like Clark talks to Lex. Lex tells him, I don't know anything about this. Then goes and opens his laptop, and we see that he's tracking. And then the team comes to take him out at the farm. I mean, that's the only thing I can assume, but I don't know.
I don't either.
So could be. I was like, could be at the end, but no, that doesn't make sense because he really is kind of. Oh, he's like, tell Victor Stone, I'm leaving him alone, right? Mm-hmm. At the end, and I at least believe that from him. But there was a lot of ambiguity in this episode with Lex, which is great. See, that's the thing. Like this, I think this episode it took the blueprint of Aqua. And just did it again.
Yes, 100%.
Some things better, some things worse, I think. But we'll get into it. Cyborg.
Newspapers got it wrong, huh?
No. They didn't. We were all in the car. Laughing. Carrying on. Then it started to snow. My little sister always loved the snow. My mom, my pops, my little sister. I should have died with them. I passed out. Expected to see some angels next time I woke up. Instead, I got a bunch of Syntechnic scientists playing Frankenstein.
Syntechnics, they did this to you?
I wasn't the only dead guy they pulled from an accident. Just the first to survive their experiments. If it wasn't for this one doctor to help me escape, I'd be more machine than man right now.
Machine? You mean bionics? That's where all the metal is in your body.
How do you know what's in me? What about that wall I tossed you into? How come you're not even hurt?
You're not the only one who drinks a lot of milk.
Cyborg is the 15th episode of Smallville's fifth season. It aired on February 16th, 2006. It was written by Caroline Dries and directed by Glenn Winter. A couple notes on those names. Caroline Dries went on to be one of the creators and executive producers of Batwoman, and then wrote the Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 episode, where they go back to Smallville, where Tom Welling and Erica Durant come back. So, a lot of DNA there for the show. And then Glenn Winter, he had been the director of photography on Smallville up to this point, and this was his first episode to direct of the show. And then he went on to direct many episodes in the Arrowverse.
Okay.
And then episodes of Titans and Doom Patrol for DCU. So keeping that cyborg connection there. And in the companion, Al Goff had this to say about Glenn Winter taking on the director's chair, quote, he was awesome because he moved the camera so well. Because he is the director of photography, it was second nature for him. And he knew the characters because he'd been with the show for so long. I had a great experience with him. It's a mixed bag whether or not you have good chemistry with a director. One of my favorite collaborations with the director was on Cyborg. He really cared about that episode because it was his first. So did a great job here. Went on to direct more episodes of Smallville, the Arrowverse, DCU. So this Glenn Winter, man, all power to you. Because as someone's first episode of directing, A-plus job.
Yeah.
And him being on set for all these years, you know, really paid off. Because there's a lot of good action in here. You
there
know?
Is.
Running around. Storage units. But we'll get into that. So there you go. So a couple of big names that go on to play big roles in the future of DC on television. Or streaming. So we start out, and Cyborg is in a lab. Mm-hmm. We see a good Terminator arm in the front.
That's pretty cool.
We see the blueprints of what Cyborg looks like in the comics behind. And this is like, look, I understand this is Smallville. This is Smallville! Supercut of people saying that, right?
Yeah.
And they don't have the special effects to have a full cybernetic Cyborg, right?
Yes.
Obviously, they're not going to do that in Justice League, but full CG. Mm-hmm. A little too far with that, frankly. They could have done more practical effects. They did it like Green Lantern. It's like, he's just going to wear a green screen suit. We're going to fix it later. I'm like, no, we could actually have something practical here. And then Doom Patrol has kind of prosthetics, and he wears more like clothes so they cover up the cybernetics, it seems to me. So this was, look, this is television. Everybody knows the $6 million man. The show certainly knows it because it makes we can rebuild him. A couple of references to him, right? So we've all seen the sci-fi, the Terminator, hello, which influences everything, by the way. I've seen the more evil AI. There you go, right?
Uh-huh.
This is a guy who's a cyborg, and on the outside he looks human, but on the inside he's cybernetic. So what did you think of the look of Cyborg in this episode?
I thought it was pretty cool. Like, especially like when we get about, what, 10 minutes or so into the episode when Clark, you know, kind of scans him, and when you get to see it, it's like, okay, cool. Like, thank you for giving us that little much of an Easter egg, because we're not going to get how he looks in the comics in this episode, as you said. But like giving us that and giving us like his skeletal structure is what we know of him to be. Was enough, and I think right. They did a good job with that.
Yeah, because I don't know, like, sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't, mm-hmm. but this time I think it worked to change the character to fit the format, so yeah. Right? So he's in, like, stasis mode or mm-hmm. something, locked in this lab, and this doctor comes in and lets him go. He's like, I'm sorry for everything that happened to you. He injects him something, wakes him up, but then the security team swarms in.
Yes.
And chases him out, and this is where we get our chase through the storage unit.
Yes, it is legit a public storage or U-Haul like facility. Looks exactly like my storage unit.
Yeah, there's like the white doors, the walls, like they literally could have filmed it where you have your storage unit. Yes. Where I used to have my storage unit as well.
Yeah, two floors down.
That was unintentional.
It was unintentional.
I was like, hey, where's your storage unit? Oh, the same spot. It was very convenient when they helped the show their move a few times. But yes. Anyway, it's just funny. I'm like, I get that it's a government facility, right? And uh-huh. So they need something like sterile, and they're like, and I get it. Like, at least they didn't film it in a storage unit where like the doors are orange or yes. something, right? But it's like when this top secret facility looks like our storage unit, we have to laugh. Right?
Yes,
and
because like they
didn't even, we should reenact this sometime.
We should.
You're gonna run. I'll run the camera.
Because they didn't hide the fact that it's a storage unit. You still see people's locks on the doors.
You like see
the
same exit
type
sign.
Yes, the same type of doors, the same hallways. Like, it has the same blueprint. Like,
if you have been in an indoor public storage unit in the last 10 years, you have been to this set. So anyway, it's just funny.
Yeah.
it kind of takes you out of it.
A little bit.
That's all we're saying. But I understand. And hey, and I give credit to the show for going out on location here, right? Because, I mean, so when he finally gets out of the storage unit part, they're in some warehouse,
yep.
right? He goes up to the side of the roof. But also,
we get
music that is straight out of Arrow.
Like, oh, yeah.
Now, Mark Snow doesn't compose for Arrow, but it's certainly they certainly took what was here and carried that over as an influence for Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Much like they did in the Aquaman episode. That's uh-huh. There are a lot of parallels to this episode. And there's two instances here. There's the first one is when Victor's running away for the first time. Yes. And he's running over the rooftops, much like Oliver Queen used to do. And you're dun 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 dun. And then he gets up to the edge of the building, and then we cut, and he's busted through the wall, and he's gone, and the security team shows up.
Yeah.
And presumably the doctor in charge shows up as well. Alistair Krieg. Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about him for a second. He's played by Mackenzie Gray,
okay.
Who you might recognize from Smallville Season 10, Episode 1, Lazarus, as the old Lex Luthor. Because they thought, all right, surely we'll get Michael Rosenbaum back for this. As I understand it, that's what everyone's understanding was, too.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, they're like, all right, season 10, we're going to work stuff out with Michael. We're going to have him in episode here or there. Or we'll have him in the first one.
It's all good.
We'll have him, this little kid clone will grow into him. It's going to be great. Michael Rosenbaum being Michael Rosenbaum did not come back for Lazarus. So they're like, what do we do? They're like, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll have like a really old guy. Mm-hmm. We'll have an old Lex so we can get away with that. And I think it works out okay. Just Michael Rosenbaum has such a distinctive bald head.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, that is that really Lex? Like, how old is he supposed to be? Like 80, right? I don't know. But anyway, but I give the show credit for working around this unworkable problem of mm-hmm. not having your Lex Luthor actor when your show revolves around Clark Kent and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
So but Mackenzie Gray, as I understand, he was willing to shave his head. So they're like, all right, so you're Lex Luthor now. He also appears as Jack Zur in Man of Steel.
Ah.
Who Jack Zur is a character you see throughout comic books. I mean, he was more General Zod than General Zod. The Zod we know from the Superman, the movie Superman 2,
yeah.
That's kind of more Jack Zur. Zod became popular after those movies,
mm-hmm.
so they started incorporating more. But Jack Zur blew up Krypton's moon. I really like how they did that, incorporated that into Krypton, the show.
Yeah.
Because Jack Zur, famous for blowing up Krypton's moon. What happens? They blow up the moon, Jack Zur's involved. So very cool there. Also in Superman the Animated Series as well. So Jack Zur kind of all, one of those Kryptonian names you see. But anyway, that's Mackenzie Gray. That's him here. He's painting Smallville dudes here to come back later in season 10. But Victor's still running from these guys.
Yes.
And we cut to Lana just driving through Metropolis, sipping a latte.
Yep.
And what happens?
And then all of a sudden, she has to stop short because she sees Victor in the middle of the street. She hits him full on, not exactly sure what the speed limit, what speed she was going, but crashes the car. It's a pretty epic crash there.
No CGI, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is a practical effect. This is what I'm looking for, that the Clark Lex car accident from the pilot.
Yeah.
This, not the scene from Unsafe. When the car flips over, right? Or Pariah. I did the last episode. I mixed those two up. But the Alicia season 4 episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They show it so many times, Clark catching that CGI car.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying to me. But anyway, this is a very good practical effect, I think. But yeah, she hits him head on, and she just has a cut. No whiplash, no concussion, anything like that.
No.
But we see her wrecked car, and Victor's in front of him. Of course, he's fine.
Yeah.
And we zoom up, and we cut to credits. We come back. We're at Metropolis General Hospital.
MGH.
You know how it is if you hit someone in your car.
Yes.
Right. You take them to the hospital yourself, and then you take them to the room.
That's correct.
It's like, what? That's so weird because Victor takes her to some patient room, right?
Well, that just shows you that he's a good guy.
Well, I get that. I'm saying they let someone just come in with somebody and take it into a room.
Oh yeah, no, that does not happen.
Like, he should have let her like in the waiting room or something.
Yes.
Like, did they? Probably didn't have a waiting room set. That's the problem.
Likely.
Speaking of reusing sets, we'll take a screenshot of this.
The brain scan thing?
There's a brain scan in the background. And had I not been watching things the way I've been watching them, I might not know this is.
Mm-hmm.
But having just watched Tomb, it's the same prop of like MRIs of a brain that we have for Chloe in the previous episode in her hospital room that we have here just in this random room, right? So I thought that was, I get it. TV production, like, no one's gonna notice this. Well, here we are noticing it.
Joke's on you.
So he leaves. Lana makes a phone call.
To Lex.
Yeah.
No, I thought
it was gonna be.
Yeah, I know, right?
Not there
Lex,
yet.
You'll never believe what just happened to me.
But she calls Clark.
Yeah, she should.
So then we cut to the Kent farm, and Martha is dressed all very professional. Looks like she's off to do
looks nice
professional things.
She's wearing purple, power purple.
power to the purples, that I say. In this episode, there's a lot of purple going on. Victor was wearing purple as
he
well.
He was.
So, which is a cyborg color.
Somewhat.
Somewhat, because, I mean, it's not, he doesn't have a costume. His mechanics are his costume.
Yes.
But when he does have a costume, it's often purple, as it is in Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
So she gets his package, though. It just says Martha Kent on it in all capital letters. And see, this is interesting. This is a plot where you think to yourself, wow, this is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, it was supposed to be.
Yes. Well done, show.
But the problem is in bad episodes, this kind of stuff happens without the twist.
Yeah.
And you're like, so why did she get sent this giant package that says Martha Kent, where anyone who came in would be able to see it?
Mm-hmm.
So she opens it up. Personal DVD players. Remember those?
I do. Did you ever have one?
I got my mom one back in the day.
Okay.
But I never actually had one.
Yeah, so. I never had one either.
I was thinking that when
we were watching the episode, I was like, I don't think I ever had one of these.
Like, today you would get like a USB and then you would go plug it in or something. Just funny that someone would
send you an envelope, like a regular letter envelope.
But someone would blackmail you by sending a portable DVD player with a separate DVD.
Yep.
Like, so I get to keep this, right?
I know, right?
That's a cool thing about this blackmail. I mean, you destroy the disc, but you still get the sweet
portable DVD player. That's right.
So she opens it up, and we're seeing, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it looks like it's Lana. There's a fireball. What could it be? And I don't know why the episode hid what it was.
Yes.
It was clearly Clark saving Lana from the explosion in... These are other two episodes that I can't remember. It's not Fanatic.
Lockdown?
Is it Fanatic? No, it's the other one. Lockdown. Let the record show, as if it already hasn't. I cannot distinguish between Unsafe and Pariah, which, in my defense, is a two-parter with the same plot and the same characters. But Lockdown and Fanatic, I cannot remember which one is which, or because either one of those titles kind of works for either one, sort of. And they're right before the 100th episode, and I get the confused, and I will continue to do that. But in Lockdown,
there it is.
Clark saves Lana from the exploding warehouse.
Yeah,
and there was a camera there, and somebody recorded it, and this is what we're seeing. But she opens it here, once more later, and then Lionel watches at the end.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Mm-hmm. That's for you, Casey Cochran. I know. Why do you say spoilers when something's going to happen? It's just something I do. So, spoilers for that. Lionel watches it at the end. But the reveal at the end is what he knows, not that, oh my God, it was Clark. Of course it was Clark.
Yes.
We know this. So she sees this, she's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then does she shut that laptop when Lionel shows up?
But is it a laptop though?
Well, she shuts it at least once, and it's a lap at some point in this episode, we literally just watch it.
Yeah.
But it's can't remember. At some point in this episode, she shuts it.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying, like, shut it, shut it, shut it, shut it. And she shut it.
Yeah.
And it may or may not be laptop, but because of that gray area, we're going to count it plus one for shut that laptop.
Okay.
So I even have it in my notes, plus one for shut that laptop.
All right,
so
cool.
Either she does it here or later, but she shuts it here.
Yeah, she shuts it. But my question was like, is it a laptop?
Well, let's move on.
Okay.
So, what is a sandwich? Stephen A. Smith. Go Google Stephen A. Smith talking about what is a sandwich, and you'll understand what we're talking about.
And
so,
stay off the weed.
So Lionel has learned from the last episode. Just drop him by the back door. He comes to the front door.
See, ladies, he's paying attention.
That's right. This man cares, right? That's what you got to do. Like when your lady, she mentions something, right? There's a reason she mentioned it.
Yeah. Because she wants you to be listening. Listen to her, Will Smith in Hitch. Listen to her.
Yeah, she's giving you a chance to prove that you care and listen. So you better, whatever she said, you better do that thing the next time that situation comes up. Learn from Lionel Luther, a gentleman to the last, right?
Yes.
What a great guy, because he's at the front door. He's like, oh, am I a little early? We said 11:30, didn't we?
That's
right. Like, he's so cheerful.
Like, and he's punctual. Like,
be on time, right? Other lessons to learn. Lionel Luther's class of etiquette.
Yes. Dating advice with the Luthers.
Oh, man. So Lionel going about the whole Martha thing way less creepy than Lex is with Lana. I'm just going to put it out there. But anyway, although he did kind of get her husband killed with the heart attack. He didn't know that was going to happen, though.
No.
So he just wanted to control their lives through politics. So anyway, he's there. He was going to give her a ride in his Luther Corp helicopter because she had a big senator thing going on today.
Conference in Topeka.
Oh, conference in Topeka. I understand if it's a conflict of interest to be. She's like, oh, no, it's not that. She's like, something's come up. Have to deal with it. He notices the giant envelope. This is Martha.
And they both kind of like awkwardly stare at it and each other about it.
Yeah. So it's very obvious. They both know that each other know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But he's like, okay, if you need anything, call me.
Please.
Yeah, we know. Sometimes it goes a little too far.
Ain't too proud to beg.
I did borrow that watch a few years ago. That was very inappropriate.
Yeah.
With deepest affection, LL. Right? I mean, so I take back what I said about him not being
creepy. I need to get a hold of that watch.
There you go. So he leaves. And what is Martha going to do, right? But hey, Martha's getting plots now.
Like, it's true.
It's a shame that they had to kill off Jonathan to give Martha plots.
Yeah.
Like, all of her best plots revolve around, like, the world of Lionel Luther.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than running the Talon, which they didn't really do much with, and being pregnant, which is just, everyone forgets that because we want to forget that in season two. She doesn't have much to do outside of, like, Lionel working for Lionel or being in politics. Therefore, but Jonathan's gone. Therefore, Lionel has moved in. So anyway, it's a shame that we had to lose the character of Jonathan to give the character of Martha more to do.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of characters here, and it's hard to juggle. So I get it. So we cut back to the hospital in Metropolis. So hospital visit plus one.
Yes.
Because Lana is in the hospital. And Clark is there in his blue shirt, red jacket.
So that's another plus
one. That's another plus one for that. And she's like, how'd you get her so fast?
And he's like, he actually like stumbles. He was like, and then he's just like, oh, I was at the Daily Planet with Chloe.
Yeah, I bet you were. Yeah, mm-hmm. I bet you were. She doesn't see Chloe as a threat, so not a problem.
Exactly. I mean, did you see Chloe in this episode?
I would consider her a threat.
I would consider her a very much a threat.
Power purple. Power cleavage as well. So moving on.
Power girl.
Power girl. Oh my gosh, you did the voice of Power Girl. In Batman, Superman, Public Enemies, the DC animated movie.
Yep.
It all ties together.
It's all connected.
So, they have a conversation here, and it's interesting because Clark thinks she killed this guy.
Yes.
He's like, Clark, it was terrible. I looked up, and he was just in the street, and I hit him head on. Clark's like, oh, I'm sorry. Because he thought she killed this guy.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you don't understand. He just saw a scratch on him. He's like, oh, really?
And so then, now so he's interested.
Now he's invested. They ask a couple questions, and then Lance and I, having the sense of humor we do about things.
Yes.
We really zeroed on this. Like, this is my favorite cut in Smallville history. Clark's like, what did he look like? It's cut. It was a black guy. Like, they just didn't want her to say, like, they couldn't figure out how to have her say that, right?
Yeah, because I think they rightly figured out that there's no good way to have that scene be like have that conversation,
right?
So they're just like, let's just cut it.
But it's just so funny because then you see him, he throws away his jumpsuit he was in.
Yes,
he's wearing this yellow jacket. Is that another cyborg color?
Looks more like a callback to, you know, something that the famous Jet Jackson would wear.
There you go. Maybe that is it, because you know, we're talking about colors in Smallville, right? Like, yeah. The Flash, he has red hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
AC had his green and orange because he's from Miami.
Yeah.
Right? Oliver Queen, obviously, in green.
Mm-hmm.
Clark in the red and blue. Cyborg, yellow here. Of course, Injustice, his costume is, as we said, purple.
Yeah.
With silver. A little bit of gray, yeah. So that's on brand there. But anyway, I applaud the fact he's not wearing like a silver just hoodie with like stripes where it makes him look like a robot.
Yeah.
Yet. Justice. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Clark runs into him outside. I'm very conveniently,
oh, yeah,
how he finds him.
Well, I mean, based on the description that Lana likely gave him.
Look, this is not Smallville. Metropolis is a big city, all right? There are multiple characters.
It is Kansas.
Of multiple ethnicities.
It is Kansas.
In this city. Well, it's Metropolis, Kansas. That's true. You know, but it's so funny. I'll go ahead and say this on the record of the podcast, okay, right? So, like, I've told you for years a joke that I've made about myself. Like,
yes.
Because I've traveled through America. I've seen the states.
Yes.
And going to, like, the middle America, it's very odd because we grew up in Houston.
Yeah.
Sugar Land, a suburb of Houston, the Smallville to Houston's metropolis, if you will.
Uh-huh.
A small little town right outside the city. And it's weird to be somewhere where there's just like only white people. And, like,
I know.
And a joke that I've met. Like, no, I was like I didn't say it quite like it's like, man, it's weird all these white people around. But then when Get Out came out, right? There's a scene at the party, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm,
when the main character finds the other African American character.
He's
like, man, get a little nervous when there's too many white people around. I was like, that is me. I get you, bro. But anyway, hope you guys appreciate that. You've been listening to this podcast long enough to understand me, Lance's sense of humor dynamic, yes, here. So you can understand why this is amusing to us. But
yes,
anyway, what goes down here this scene?
It's, you know, classic superhero sizing up stuff going on. But the cool thing, though, is that while they're talking, Clark recognizes Victor. And he's like, Victor Stone? And Victor's like, oh, crap, he knows my name. But he's like, met you, wide receiver. And so they're tying in the, you know, the origin of Cyborg and how he used to be a football player who, after an accident, so in this case, it is a car accident for the show, but like in the comics originally, it was a lab accident while he was at Star Labs, which his dad worked for. It was where he gets, you know, disfigured, and Clark thought he was dead. But I like the whole, like, two football players, former football players, bonding over the fact that, number one, they don't play the game anymore, but they recognize each other and automatically kind of respect each other because they both played.
And that was a good way to have the exposition too. He's like, I don't play anymore. He's like, yeah, I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
And Clark's like, yeah, that's because you're dead.
Yeah, right? No, right.
And you're right, talking about the origin of Cyborg, right? In the Justice League, they kind of combine them because, like,
yes,
and deleted scenes, hashtag release the Snyder Cut. He gets like in an argument with his parents dad, in the car, and there's a car accident, and his dad uses the mother box to save him. So it's, you know, it's folding together the things, I think. And then in the New 52, I think he's just there when, I think our experiment, is it a mother box in the
think
New 52?
So, yeah.
There he's there and he gets experimented on, so.
Yeah, in the comics, it's like some like extra dimensional portal gateway thing.
Well, you know, that is a shortcut of fiction to be like, he has issues with his dad, right? Although that works for this character because you can see like, hey, why can't you be out here and support me? Oh, I want to work on my science, right? That makes sense, right? And so I think that was, you know, if there's something, I didn't know much about the character when this came out, so this origin worked for me, but I think you lost something by losing that whole thing with his dad.
I agree.
Now, speaking of Smallville connection, mm-hmm, Joe Morton, like, this guy.
They will replace us all.
This guy has carved such a niche for himself. He was obviously Miles Dyson in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
He was a government scientist in Stealth.
Yeah.
They will replace us all, we quote all the time. He was a scientist on Eureka, mm-hmm, right? And then they cast him as Silas Stone.
Yeah.
In Justice League. Mm-hmm. So he's in He's in the viral marketing material for Justice League that Wonder Woman watches in BVS, Dawn of Justice.
Yep.
And then he's in Justice League, you know. And see, I like those scenes between them, like in Justice League. I'm like, that's some heart. That's what I'm saying. Like, the heart of the movie could have been there if they would have expanded on that further. But I'm like, you got Joe Morton. It's like if they had done that story on Smallville, they could have gotten Joe Morton had they not killed him off.
Yeah.
Although, as we mentioned earlier, they brought back Erin Ashmore as a different character. You know, Mackenzie Gray comes back as other Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Could we not have had just Joe Morton back as Cyborg's dad who, you know, created him, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the plot they're telling here. But I think just so much Smallville in the DCEU. It's just true. So funny.
You know, carrying off of that, piggybacking off of that. So in Doom Patrol, I do know that that Silas Stone is played by Phil Morris, who was the Martian Manhunter on Smallville. So it legit is all connected.
But that's cool, though. Right?
I know.
I mean, that's so cool. And then, you know, being Crisis on Infinite Earths, for all its great things and not so great things, right? Mm-hmm. It has canonically tied together all these universes. Like, there is a multiverse out there.
Yes.
So it's not just some fan theory, like, well, you know, on Earth, whatever, there's Adam West was Batman. No, it really was, right? So that's cool. You can say all these faces and names are switching. That's why there can be a Brandon Routh Superman and also a Brandon Routh Adam. So, anyway, are you lactose intolerant too? Or whatever?
So good. Shout out to Brandon Routh.
That's right. So Victor starts to kind of walk off, and Clark's like, hey, wait a minute, right? Because he wants answers, you know?
Yeah.
And Victor not knowing, like, his own strength, because this is probably the first time he's been out of the lab since he's been turned into Cyborg, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. What an original name for a hero, by the way. It's like, what should we call him? He's a cyborg. Just call him Cyborg.
Yes.
But in the 80s, there wasn't everywhere. Cyborg was a new term.
Yes. You
know? Like, the Borg in Star Trek. It's like, what if we just call them the Borg?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they're cyborgs. Why do they call themselves that? But Victor kind of shoves Clark off. He throws him into a wall. It's this cool tile wall that shatters. That was a really cool special effect. I think, like, that's a nice moment of a set design where it's not just a normal wall. So the tiles all shot around him, and he gets up.
Also, I like how before that, like, Clark is, you know, he's asking him questions. He's like, "Well, how do you not have a scratch on you?" Blah blah blah. And he's like, "Milk does body good." So
product placement feat.
Has got a plus one.
That very appropriate,
yes.
Right, for it to happen from him. But milk does the body good. I consider that a product placement because it's weird that an actual food, like not a brand, but a food or drink is like, why is there an advertising campaign for milk? But anyway, we've all seen it.
It need to get sold. So
speaking of Brandon Routh, we've all, you know, Superman Returns was in there too, like him with the milk mustache.
Oh, yeah.
We've all seen it. So milk does a body good. To me, I count that as a product placement. So
oh, of course.
I got a plus one for that. So Victor asks him, what are you made of? And Clark's like, I was about to ask you the same thing. So clever. I see that twice when Lionel shows up with Martha. I could ask you the same thing.
Yeah.
These people watch too much TV.
They grew up
watching TV and they use the line. But that's when we get the X-ray of Cyborg, which is cool because you see, like, you know, Cyborg has like the half his face is mechanical, and you see what parts of him are bionic and what parts of him are not.
Yeah.
And that's a cool just moment in the X-ray. Like, here, we're giving you your comic accurate quote unquote Cyborg, right? And so we get that. And then they run off to hide, basically, because he's on the run. And they're at the Kent farm, and Clark calls Lana. He's like, hey, sorry to take off. Victor couldn't stick around long, but Chloe's going to go pick you up.
Yep.
So we establish that, and Victor is up in the loft. He's looking at the, you know, headlines about his death, and we'll take some screenshots of these. These are interesting. And he asks Clark, he's like, how can you do all the stuff you do? He's like, you're not the only one who drinks a lot of milk. Clark, I like it. He's just keeping it close to the vest, right? Uh-huh. He's like, are you bionic like me? He's like, no, I'm just
different.
I'm just different. I'm like, okay.
How did your girl feel about that?
I haven't told her yet, but my friend in the Daily Planet is really accepting of that. Also, if I'm Victor, I'm like, man, you're a cheater at football.
Yeah, I know, right?
This happened after I died. You know? So, yeah, like,
we could have beat y'all, Kent.
Yeah, we get some backstory about his girlfriend and how he's afraid to tell her that he's alive, and because he doesn't know if she's going to accept him, and, you know, I'm like, it's the Clark, obviously the worst person to be talking to,
yeah,
right about this, but they go to the Daily Planet, because he's like, I have a friend that works at the Daily Planet, she's cool with my powers, but he's like, oh, you do that for me? You know, so it's again, these are the good things about the Superman with other heroes things,
yeah,
because it shows Superman being who Superman would be,
yeah.
You know, like the Flash, you kind of had to set straight. Aquaman was kind of a terrorist, and Clark was like, okay, you're doing good stuff, but don't go this far.
Yeah.
Cyborg's just a guy who's just trying to figure things out, and Superman's going to help him.
Yes.
So they go to the Daily Planet, and Lana and Chloe are there, and on a scale of 1 to Tay Diggs,
yep.
Really?
Yep. That's where they went. Ironically, Taye Diggs is on the CW now with All American.
Now, what is All American? What is that?
It's a football show. He's a coach.
He's a coach, I would assume, right? Taye Diggs, man. That's great. What was that show? Daybreak? Where it was like Early Edition.
Uh-huh.
But it was like Early Edition meets Groundhog Day, but he keeps the injuries from the previous
day. Something
like
that, yeah.
So that's like a one season show. I should watch that sometime. Yeah. I wonder if it had an actual conclusion or not.
Not sure.
I knew him best at the time from Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
He was the foil for Christian Bale in that, which is a cool movie that, again, talking about how The Matrix, if you heard our Patreons on Blade, talking about how The Matrix ripped off Blade, The Matrix also ripped off Equilibrium and Dark City.
Yeah.
With Rufus Sewell from A Knight's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best movies of all time.
That's pushing it.
I say that unironically. Now, they do some research in the Daily Planet. And, what is this line where... Or Chloe's like, oh, do you think he likes blondes? And Clark comes in, his girlfriend's a brunette.
Yep. Well, first of all, you know, shout out to Chloe for being down. That's pretty cool.
Down with the swirl.
Indeed.
As the kids say.
Indeed. But then also, like, Clark coming in, she's like, well, his girlfriend's a brunette. It's just like, well, there's a different way of putting that, Clark, but that's okay for now. We'll talk about Catherine later.
Can we
in this
talk
episode.
About Catherine? Another familiar face. There's so much Arrowverse DC, like EU and everything in this episode. It really is a great lightning rod for all that. But so they're doing a little research. And what's the name of this, like, Cybertronics or this generic ass name?
Yeah, like I can't remember.
Syntronics,
I think, yeah.
So they're doing some research, and they're like, who owns this company? Cytechnics. I think the ones I came up with the top of my head were better, but...
Yeah.
Cytechnics. So they look up Cytechnics and the doctor that helped him and that kind of thing. And it's owned by Luther Corp.
Uh-oh.
So Clark's like, I'm going to go talk to Lex, right? And again, this is very Aqua, because he's like... Who owns Leviathan? Lex Luthor. I'm going to go talk to Lex, right? It's the same kind of thing.
Same vibe.
But so good. The Lex Clark stuff is so good in this episode because at this point, they're not friends anymore.
No.
But they Lex still allows him to be in his life.
Yes.
So he barges in. He's like, Lex!
Yeah, like he like double like barges in, like, you know, both arms.
Lionel style.
Yeah. It's so good. And I like how Lex is like, so no small talk, no... And, you know, none of that stuff. Just going to get down to business. All right, cool.
He's like, oh, you start accusing me of things. Like, I'm not accusing you of anything. It's like, tone says
your
it all.
Righteous
right?
tone.
So he's like, tell me about Cytechnics and how you turn Victor Stone to a tin man without a consent. And Lex has to explain to them that he owns a multinational corporation and he's not doesn't know the ins and outs of every subsidiary of his business.
He's like, in my line of work, Clark, I have to delegate.
It's like, Clark, you're an idiot. Like, but again, though, as we always say with Lex, everything he says makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I also like how, like, when he's like, Victor Stone, he's like, Victor Stone, the football player? Yeah. It's like, Lex, do you watch a lot of high school football?
You did last year.
He did.
Those Luther Corp jerseys.
Keep your eye on Jason probably scouting. He's probably going to plan on buying a team, I'm sure.
Oh, wait. Lionel owns the Troublous Sharks.
He does.
But that's what they mentioned. And Reaper.
Yeah.
That's why they've let the team come and play with Whitney.
Uh-huh.
So good. So we have our confrontation here, and Clark storms off, right?
Yeah.
And Lex, we just stay on Lex. And this is why I think that the deleted scene would have been here,
because
you would have seen him just go open a laptop and like, oh, this is where Victor Stone is, right? So let me cut back to the farm.
Yes.
And Lana...
is talking to Victor.
Yeah, he's talking to Victor.
Projecting her relationship struggles.
Yeah,
because
he's
Catherine.
Like, why don't you tell your girlfriend your life? I'm like, look, I've been out for a day. Give me a break.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's projecting her issues with Clark onto him, for better or for worse. I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, I can see it. But what also amused me here is like, well, Clark's going to go talk to Lex. He's like, Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
Because I like how normal people always react to like, what, they know each other? They're friends? He's like, I'm going to go talk to those Luthers. Like, no. We did that in Aqua. We're not going to do that this time. Right? Guess when Aquaman went to your tool, Luther. But yeah, they lay some groundwork here for the end of the episode when Lana goes and gets it, Catherine, Victor's girlfriend, and reunites them. So then the SWAT team comes in to attack, right?
Uh-huh.
And they shoot Victor's arm,
the shoulder.
And that's something we heard the doctor
say
mention earlier.
Beginning.
Like that's his vulnerable spot, you know? So, but then Clark comes in and stops him.
Yeah, but not before Lana's KO'd to keep Clark's secret.
That's right. It doesn't. I guess this counts as one. Right?
Oh yeah, it definitely counts.
Yeah.
She gets cold cocked by one of these, like, you know, black ops soldiers.
You're right, Clark. You're right. Yeah, but the way he throws people, good call on that one. So what is acceptable to see Clark do and what isn't? That's the range, but you're right. That is why she gets knocked out. I mean, she needs a brain scan. She just was in a car accident, and then she got knocked out hours later, right? Then they go, where else do they go but to the Talon? Because Lois won't be back
Lois won't be back till tomorrow.
because Victor's like, that's so funny because I remember like season 4 all the time too. It was like, well, Lois is out of town, Clark, so it's time to start studying for colleges, right? And it's like Eric Durant is only in 13 of these 22 episodes, and so they always have to have a line like, well, you know,
explaining where she is.
See, Lionel's not so difficult to explain, right? Because it's like, well, he's off doing business things or Lionel things, or he's in jail or whatever, right? But it's like, Lois lives here. Where is she? Right. So anyway, they're in the Talon because this is where we take all of our fugitives. We took Chloe here last week. We broke out of a hospital.
Nobody will find you here.
Yeah, no one will find us. Don't mind the bathroom, Victor. We had a big incident last week. If you need to wash your hands, go downstairs, right? Just amazing to think about this show as if it was like, what day is it? What time is it? Like, people, broken arms, broken walls.
Yeah.
It's just so good. I will say it to the end of the show. The most continuity this show ever had is when John Glover had that bruise on his face. When he got hit in the face with the shotgun by Jonathan.
Yeah.
I say John Glover because I really think John Schneider might have hit John Glover in the face.
He might have.
Because they're like, well, let's just lean into it, right?
Because
why else would they apply that makeup to him? All of John Glover, like, I would like to have some, like, a bruise here. Like, I can see him. How's we get the mindset of the character? I can see that as well. But anyway.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. Dude's a beast, man. They're going to go look for this doctor.
Right? Yes.
They found the doctor, and he's the only one that can help Victor recover from his injury. So they look up where he is, and Clark's going to go find him. Hopefully he can help repair Victor. Meanwhile, Martha has gone to the docks, right? Because she's gotten this mysterious phone call. Meet me here and make this money. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know where she got this money from. Maybe they didn't sell back the back 40 after all.
Not.
Maybe they kept that money. But she presumably has a suitcase full of money. She comes in the pickup truck.
Yeah.
Which I thought she had the sedan. But again, credit to the show, the red truck is wrecked and it has not been fixed. We're using the blue truck. So she goes out to some pier somewhere. And again, the location shooting. Very good.
Yeah.
There's not a backlot overpass in sight here. And she's about to make this. She's like, who are you? Right?
Yeah.
And then while this is going on, this other car pulls up these headlights and the guy like runs away.
Yeah, he bolts.
And it's Lionel. She's like, Lionel, what are you doing here?
I could ask you the same question.
She's like, you have no idea what you've done. She's like, oh my God, now people are going to know Clark's secret.
Yeah.
She's like, Martha, I got worried. I saw the envelope. Let me take care of this. You know, she's like, I can handle it myself. Well, I'm sure you can, but this
You're
is a new
very
world
capable
for you.
Woman.
Very capable woman. It's just funny to see, again, I love his interactions with her.
Yes.
Because it's a different flavor, but it's still Lionel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying, right? The character is consistent.
Yeah.
But he's not like, oh, I'm villainous Lionel. He's just, to see him be carrying Lionel is so interesting.
It is.
So, she at this point, she really is over her head. She's like, I don't know. He's like, look, you haven't dealt with this stuff before. I have. Let me take care of this for you. At this point, she got nothing to lose. So she's like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
So he's going to go take care of this issue. This convenient issue that's arose, it's going to bring Lionel and Martha closer together.
Mm-hmm.
What a lazy show this is to make this up. Oh, but wait. Don't judge it just yet.
Nope.
So then Clark shows up at the doctor's house, right?
He does, and knocks on the door. No answer, but then he hears something over in the garage, goes, checks it out. And then he sees the doctor, and he has been Peter Russo'd. So for those of you that have watched House of Cards, I almost said Game of Thrones, House of Cards, that's how that character, spoilers, meets his end.
In the car, in the garage, with the gas exhaust in the window.
Yeah.
Equalizer, right?
Yeah.
Denzel does this to somebody in the
he does.
So he's dead, and you hear Lex behind Clark. He's like, is he dead? It's like, what the hell are you doing
here? I know. Right? That's basically what Clark asked him, too.
He's like, Clark, you don't think I had something to do with this, did you? He's like, why else would you be here, Lex? And Lex's like, I did some research after you brought it to my attention. He's like, you acted like you didn't know anything about this. But again, everything Lex says is on the level. Like, you can buy. He's like, look, you told me about it. I look into it. This doctor has gone off the rails, right? He's gone this quest to make a cybernetic person. He's gone rogue. We need to find him. We need to stop him. And Clark's like, look, Victor's been shot. And Lex's like, bring him to me.
Yeah. Right? He's like, I have the technology.
He says, I have the technology. Come on. So this is again, they're playing on the overall friction between Clark and Lex to make this interesting.
Yes.
Because Lex is like, look, you and I have had our differences, but don't let that get in the way of us saving Victor's life.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Clark has nowhere else to turn. But meanwhile, back at the Talon, Victor's going to go find his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm not, what would you do if you only had one last chance to see the person you love, right? And he leaves.
Yep.
And Lana doesn't stop him.
Nope.
Which is really funny later when Clark comes back.
Uh-huh.
But I felt like that was supposed to mean something to her.
Yeah, it would mean more to Clark.
Yeah, because like in Vengeance, where it's like, you know, your parents and love and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you're speaking to the guy who just lost his dad. He was just like, Lana didn't lose anybody.
Correct.
Or Clark didn't, like, again, Clark lost Lana, then his dad died. Like, there's all these things you could say that to mm-hmm. make sense, but they forgot who the character was, I guess. I felt like this was an intentional line, but it didn't
really
reference
hit.
Anything.
Yeah, didn't really
So that's
hit.
Why she lets him leave. And he goes, it's kind of funny, he stumbles in like
yeah.
to her his girlfriend's house, and he's like knocked stuff over.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cover, right? But it's good. It's exactly what it would be. I expect the guy is dying, or at least, I don't know exactly what's
hey,
going
man.
On.
Lee Thompson was a good actor.
He was a good actor, man. And, you know, he's oozing this black goo, and he mentions that it's like his power cell, which mm-hmm. reminds him again of Terminator.
Yep.
Fetal cell. Control other machines. So he's just bleeding out this black goo. And then the doctor's like, hello, Victor. And of course, he's like British, right? And Alistair Krieg. I swore I remembered it this way. Maybe it's just because I thought that's how it would play out in the episode. But he's like, I swear to God. He's like, Victor, I'm a scientist. I was waiting for him to say, I don't believe in God.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't say it.
He didn't.
He's like, I'm here to help people, you know. He's like, where's Catherine? He's like, oh, she's safe. You'll see her again if you come with us.
Hope you get your Nobel Prize.
Yeah. So his goons, you know, these guys have been from the whole episode. They take Victor away back to the lab. He's like, all right, well, I got no choice at this point. They have my girlfriend somewhere. I don't know. So they leave. And then who walks out of the shadows but Lex Luthor himself.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Creaky says, he says, like, oh, you were right. He went to her like a fish to water.
Mm-hmm.
Lex is like, well, the heart has a way of clouding your better judgment. Like, you would know it, Lex.
I know.
But it's funny. We never talk about this because we go on so many tangents. I got to keep these episodes under 2 hours.
Yeah. Right?
But the DVD, because sometimes you watch these on DVD, not
That's
Hulu.
True.
So the DVD menus, right? The screens, they have little titles, which are huge spoilers, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah.
And the problem is, if you've never seen these episodes, you can't just, unless you put play all, from the screen,
yeah,
and then it plays you through all of them. You can't just click on episode and press play. You have to click on the episode, and then it takes you to the six chapter points.
Yes.
And I remember that when we first started this podcast, when we did the pilot back in 2016, we sat down like, all right, here we go. And then I press play, and it takes you to the menu. I'm like, oh,
uh-huh.
That was so disappointing. I was ready.
2016, man.
World's changed.
Yeah, no joke.
So... The thing is, like, if you're trying to watch this in order, you gotta like, oh god, you gotta press play real quick. You're gonna see scenes and titles and things that happen, right? But the specific title for this scene, a spoiler for the episode itself,
is correct.
The two faces of Lex Luthor. But then you have Mackenzie Gray, Mike Rosenbaum, in the screenshot there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, how prophetic this
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I know.
Because he went on to play Lex Luthor, and this is before he did, when these DVDs came out. So it's not like an in-joke or something. It's just very interesting happenstance there. So anyway. So Lex is, has he been in on this the whole time? What's your take on this?
I think so. Especially with that deleted scene. Yeah.
But that, taking that out makes it a lot more ambiguous, doesn't it?
Correct.
So let me go back to the Talon. Lana's just cleaned it up. Like, no big deal.
You know? Like, nothing's happened.
Clark's like, well, where's Victor? He's like, he left. He wanted to see his girlfriend last time. He's like, Lana, that's exactly
the first place they're going to look.
It's just so funny. Have you not been through something like this before? We've been doing this for 4.5 years. You should know better.
Yeah.
Like, Lana, that's the first place they're going to look.
Well, think about our glory days, Lana.
We'll get to that later.
Yep.
So we don't know where he is. Then we come back to the lab. And, you know, Victor's, he's bladed up, right?
He's Blade,
explain,
yeah.
Explain.
Just like Blade. Because so we've done two commentaries on Blade, and in each one, Blade is shirtless and on some sort of slab, like restrained in each of the movies to show off the physique of Wesley Snipes, and they're doing the exact same thing here with Lee Thompson Young, who kept himself in very good shape, as you can see from this episode, as the doctor is prepping him to, as Lex details, to put a chip in his brain. and he obviously objects to this.
Well, it's like the reverse of the chip for Dr. Octopus. Like,
yeah.
To make you have your individuality, they want to take away his individuality. So mm-hmm. you want to make me a drone, which is exactly right. They want to make an automaton. You know?
Yeah.
And on some level, the doctor's like, he's like, oh, we're just going to, you're not going to feel bad about this anymore, like your memories and all mm-hmm. that, because they'll block all that stuff and you won't feel bad about the life you used to have. So, and then Lex goes on some like mad scientist thing. He's like, you've read too much science fiction, Victor.
Yeah.
He's like, artificial hearts, limbs. The line between man and machine is much more blurred than you think, right? Yeah, actually says earlier, I'd be more machine now than man. So we got our Star Wars reference earlier. Uh-huh. Victor saying that, talking about himself. So this is presumably the procedure that the other doctor wanted to save him from.
Correct.
This is like a step too far. You know, and Victor, he like didn't want to even come back, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point. He's like, I wanted to die with my family, right? But here I am. Like, he didn't ask to be resurrected like this. So Clark shows up. How did Clark find where he was?
That's a good question.
Like, I can't. I mean, that's where the lab is.
Yeah.
But I don't remember, like, the line of evidence where he was able to find. Again, guys, we just watched the episode, so there's really no excuse for us not remembering. But frankly, there's no excuse for the show not plotting out how Clark found Victor.
Yeah.
I put this back on you, show.
Yeah, because like you know, because we see the process when he finds the doctor who helped who helped Victor his house. Like we see that process. We don't see this.
But Clark shows up.
Yep.
At the storage unit, just in the nick of time.
Uh huh. Gives him a shirt, which is you know like since you know we know Justice Victor talking to AC, he's like put a shirt on.
Yeah.
And so I like how like Clark gives him a shirt here, kind of a precursor to this.
It's true, and we do we're getting a little cheaper on the Clark taking people out with super speed. He just does like a 360 around the table,
yeah,
and then wipes everybody. Lex had left at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'll leave you to it. Right. So Lex is around, but he's not in this room.
Correct.
So then we have our our second instance of the Arrow music. Dum, 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 ba-da.
How'd you do that, kid?
I can do a lot of things.
Clark and Victor are doing the same escape they did. It's actually very similar, dude.
It is.
Exactly. Scene from earlier, just two heroes in it. So they're running around. It's cool.
He's like, how'd you do all those things? Yeah. Like, I could do a lot of things.
Yeah. That's a good line there. And they get up to like the roof. They do this awesome jump down. And we follow them down and we see the crater.
Yeah. There are two sets of footprints in that crater. They didn't cover it up because like the next shot we see is the doctor looking like he's about to cry. You know,
that's a $1 billion project.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. So Lex was around. So like surely like when they were like canvassing the area trying to find him, like they see this crater. There are two sets of footprints. Lex knows that Clark is one of the footprints.
Well, and that's why it's like, that's why I kept thinking, this is a lot like Aqua. Because in Aqua, Lex looking out that window and he sees the two streams
yeah.
of you know, the people swimming away at super speed. So, yeah, you know. What are you going to do? And I think, you know, beat for beat, this isn't exactly like Aqua, but it has been pretty similar. I mean,
pretty
remember
similar.
AC, he got chained up.
Yep.
Lex gave him the villain shirtless. Lex gave him the villain speech, you know, because these episodes. They feel like they're allowed to make Lex more the villain
mm-hmm.
because there's another hero involved.
Correct.
And he can't be the villain straight up to Clark yet, but he can Not be the yet. Villain of these other, quote-unquote, more fully formed heroes. Mm-hmm. So he can be a more, quote-unquote, fully formed Lex Luthor. That's my take on
okay.
it anyway.
That tracks.
But that's why it's like, yeah, these, like, you could do the, you know, side-by-sides of Aqua and this.
Yeah.
But the team, I mean, they knock out, I mean, there's not a team, but they knock out AC with, like, a dart, toxic mm-hmm. dot. And got it in there. So, similar situation, sir. So they escape and go back to the barn, you know, the place they found them before.
Yep.
And then we have Clark and Lex. Clark comes in and Lex is like, you small talk this time? Or?
And he's like, and he doesn't even respond. He just slaps down this file on his desk. And Lex is like, all right.
And Clark pretty much confronts him about, hey, you were there. Victor said you were there. And Lex was like, he was under heavy sedation. I was there to stop him. He must have misconstrued my intentions. It's like, this guy can't catch this guy in a trap, man. He's got it all lined up. And
yeah.
Clark's like, well, that seems to happen to you a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts to walk out, and Lex stops him. And he's like, hey, you really think Victor would have been better off dying with his family? That's like the question here, right?
Yes.
It's like, no, they played God without his consent. That's the real issue.
It really is. And so that's where they kind of come to a head. But, like, you know, of course, Lex, you know, being somewhat of a futurist, is like, well, if we could try to help these people, we could try to help them. But, it, like, he doesn't see how that has its limits and that how that could be problematic.
Just because it wasn't asked for doesn't make the miracle any less profound or something like that. Right? But see, this I like these being the ideological rifts between Clark and Lex.
Correct.
Like, much like Aqua, right? At the end, right? He's like, tell your friend RC. And then here he's like, tell your friend Victor that we're not looking for him anymore. I'm like, this again, it's very structured the same way. But again, you take the, see, the thing is, the reason they have issues, right? Yeah. It doesn't even have to be Lana, right? They could have had issues because he was looking into him.
Yes.
Like, you take Lana out of this, they could still be in the same phase they were at the beginning of season 4.
Correct.
Or even season 5, right? And this works. This shows, like, them getting mad at each other because, hey, man, I don't like what you're doing with your life, right? And how it's affecting my life and the world's life, right? Yes. And you didn't need that. A woman! To quote Batman 89, you set me up over a woman.
A woman! A woman!
But that's what their rift ultimately ends up being. But it works here, right? Because he just didn't know where to draw the line, Lex. And they leave, and it's true. Back to the barn. Cyborg's like, how can I repay you? He's like, just, you know, help somebody else when they're in need. It's like Superman, paying it forward, right? I like him. Lana shows up with Catherine.
Yep.
And we haven't seen Catherine. Like, we saw people looking at a picture of her, but we never really saw her. Right? All we knew is she was brunette.
Yeah. And beautiful.
Yeah. And she shows up. And who is she, Lance?
Carly Diggle from Arrow Season 1.
Yeah, that is Diggle's brother's widow. Carly Diggle, Catherine Goodwin is her last name, according to the Smallville Companion.
Okay.
Played by Christy Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, whenever they sat down to make Arrow, they're like, all right, who directed this? Who did the music? Who's that actress? Let's hit that guy for something else. Yeah. Like, it's just Cyborg's a good character. If we do another show down the road, we'll use him.
Yeah.
So it's just so funny. And it's just one scene here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny that she was a pretty regular main character in Arrow Season 1.
Yeah.
And then they just dropped that.
They did.
In Season 2, which again is weird that you were like, got with your brother's widow.
Yeah.
As seen in the film Brothers. With Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, Jake Gyllenhaal, Mysterio,
yep.
Natalie Portman, Thor.
Yeah. / Padme Amidala.
I don't have to call her Padme anymore. I'm just going to call her Thor. So we still haven't seen that.
No.
But that's one of the funniest trailers of all
it
time.
It is.
Go look it up, guys. It is so funny, like unintentionally. But anyway, what is with the Arrowverse and these weird relationships? Like, Flash is in love with basically his sister.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. How old was he in the 5 when his parents
probably
died?
8.
Or, I'm sorry, when his mom died? Okay, so you're raised with someone from you're that age, like, as a sister. I don't know. Like, I haven't been in that situation.
Yeah.
But I feel like you wouldn't have the same, like, romantic feeling. You haven't gone through puberty yet. You don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, you got Diggle going after his brother's widow. You got Barry going after his sister.
It's weird.
But anyway, we all love Lila, so it all worked out. Speaking of not coming back, she doesn't come back on Smallville either.
Nope.
Because she like hugs Victor, like, you feel different.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, there's gonna be problems, right?
Yeah.
But we find out in Justice, she couldn't keep up with his changes.
Yeah. But we do get the interesting dynamic of the two of them
in
embracing,
the middle of the barn. Yeah.
And you have Clark and Lana on the opposite sides of them looking on and then kind of looking at each other. And it reminded me of in Jerry Maguire when Jerry and Renee Zellweger are just kind of looking at Rod and Marcy like making out at the table. And they're just kind of like looking at their watch, like, okay, this is going on for a while. That's kind of about
Lana looking at Clark, saying, "This could be us, but you playing?"
Yeah, basically.
Right? So they keep, you know, hammering that home about the distance between the two.
Yes.
Of them, right? You know, we have a nice reunion. Cyborg goes off to be seen next season in Justice, and then we get to wrap up with Martha and her plot line with Lionel.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in, he's like, it's all been taken care of. She's like, who was he? Oh, he's a security guard, you know, trying to make money off of something. And she's like, did you know what this is about? I was like, oh, no, I wouldn't let him tell me. I was like, I was only concerned about your safety, right? It's like, come on, bro. But yep. This is a good scene. Because then Lionel, again, he's like, as you're about to find out, this has all been orchestrated by Lionel. He's like, no, Martha, I understand if, you know, now that you're a public figure, being seen with me would be, you know, bad optics or something. Or till along those lines, she's like, oh no, I don't let what people think get in the way of me and my friends.
Friend zone!
It's like, Lionel, it's working out really well, but you've just been friend zone, my friend.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wow, how convenient of this to all go Lionel's way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good, I like this dynamic here, as we always do.
Yes.
But see, it's weird because, you know, Jonathan's dead and we all love Jonathan and we all love Martha and Jonathan. It's like, you know, a couple goals.
Yes.
But we all, you know, we all like Lionel too. And like, yeah. It's like, I think for all the things they handle poorly, I think they handle this very well because mm-hmm. it's a weird deal. Unlike the Arrow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah. It's, I think they just kind of like, it's, I think part of it also is John Glover and like his charisma and like just it, and the fact that this has kind of been built up since season one. Right. Like, and so we've gotten like, it's been a
maybe
slow
two,
burn.
But.
Yeah. But it's been a slow burn of him like sort of being kind of into Martha and then like going out of his way to like help Martha. And then like, and all this is kind of just slowly, slowly burning until we get to this point.
Yeah. And it never goes anywhere, really.
Yeah. It does.
So that also helps. It's all the, oh, well, they won't they? Right? Mm-hmm. Like Lois and Clark up till the season three of that show. So we leave it there for now with Lionel and Martha. So then we get Clark and Lana, and Lana's like, man, see, Victor and Catherine together just reminded me of our glory days. And I'm like, what glory days was that? Like episodes 1 through 3 of season 5, I guess, right?
Yeah, the end of season 2 and prom night.
I think maybe at some point, and I'm not asking for him to do this right now.
When he asked her on a date and she was really excited.
I want to add up how many episodes they were actually in a dating, right?
Yeah.
Out of 218 episodes, how many episodes were Clark and Lana actually a couple?
Mm-hmm.
Way less than Clark and Lois, am I right?
That's very true.
So Clark is going through all this football stuff. Are they having this conversation? We're seeing like the jersey and the helmet, you know, a playbook or something.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, oh, I hadn't seen that in a while. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm talking to Victor, just maybe reminisce. And she's like, why did you quit playing anyway? You always felt like so at peace out there. I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's like, were you even watching him during those games?
She was there for Jason.
Again, was she watching him?
Exactly. But Clark's like, just a game.
Yeah. Well, because remember, because Clark did like was really excited for her to come to practice that one time.
Yeah, because he thought she was there to watch him. Instead, she was there to watch her adult football coach from teaching at her school when she was a minor.
Inappropriate.
Okay, I take it back. The Arrowverse is no worse than Smallville with these inappropriate relationships. But, you know, he shuts down. She's like, I hate it when you do that. You know, which is true because it is very, like, normal conversation. Oh, everything's fine. I just stopped because it was a game.
Uh-huh.
Like he could play it off better. He's no Lex. Right?
No, he's not.
Which is good because if you're a bad liar, that means you're a good person.
There we go.
Like me.
Jury's out on that.
So that's when they're like, wow, I wish we were more like them and all that. And she's like, I love you, Clark, but I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
And it's like they forgot to put the pop music here because they just, I mean, it's Mark Snow's music is fine,
mm-hmm.
but the visuals are very much, it's almost like, it's not like Whisper, the end of Whisper, where you have like the white shot and Clark's up there and Lana's walking down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, and
she does a weird pause thing in this one too.
Yeah. Is it slow motion? Is it not? I can't tell. So I feel like they're like, okay, shoot all this stuff and maybe it'll be the last scene.
Yeah.
Right? I've said this a lot about episodes. Asylum is the one I always come back to where like they could have switched the endings.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like that's the episode where obviously Lex is Belle Reve.
Yeah.
Lionel has his videotape and he finally gets the sound fixed and he's like, I know your secret.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been the end. The X-Files ending, as I call it. But then you have the WB ending, which is like, there's a welcome back party for Lana. We're playing Staying So Far Away.
Uh-huh.
Person that I am today. And that's what they go with, right? And Clark and Lana look like have eye contact, and she ignores him, right? Yeah. And they could have done that here with that, but I'm glad they didn't because we have this great montage after this with Martha burning the DVD, not the player. No, she keeps the player.
That's right.
Which is, I don't know. I love free stuff, but like, I don't know. If I got this from someone blackmailing, I would destroy it as well. But we hear Costa Diva by Bellini.
Okay.
Right? So it's like a cultured Lionel ending.
That's
there.
Right.
And we see, it's interesting, Martha has like a picture of Jonathan and she looks at it and holds and
mm-hmm.
throws the disc on the fire, watches it burn. Meanwhile, we cut to Lionel at Luther Corp, which, why is he in Luther Corp offices?
I don't know.
Did we not establish in Vengeance that he'd given Lex the passkey back so he wouldn't tell Martha that I confronted Jonathan?
Yeah.
And so the thing is, they have no set for Lionel. That's why he's always in the mansion or in the Luther Corp offices. So he's paying off the guy that was trying to bribe Martha earlier.
Yes.
Like, oh, he set all this up.
It was his plan.
And he has an identical portable DVD player that he's pulling out. So as you know, he's like, oh, it's a very, it's not up to this level because nothing is, but the end of Covenant, right? We have the opera, we have the cuts back and forth. We have Martha burning the disc, being happy, okay, his secret's safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have Lionel getting the disc. And so at this point, you don't know, Lionel, you don't know where he is. You don't know what he knows, what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's had Jarell inhabit him, he's had the crystal take him over.
Mm-hmm. He's been through some stuff.
Been through some stuff, you know? So like, you know, a couple years ago, this was like, oh my God, Lionel's about to find out Clark's secret, right? Mm-hmm. But that was all immaterial to him. He used this to get closer to Martha and to kind of forge more of a bond between them. So pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, relationship advice from Smallville. If there's a girl you like, set up a blackmail against her, right? Help her get out of that problem, and then you get friend zoned. So it kind of does backfire.
Isn't this kind of like, I haven't seen it, but isn't that like basically the description of like that Netflix series, You?
I haven't seen that either. But considering we're all under quarantine now, I might check it out.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there you go. A-plus relationship advice as always from mm-hmm. Smallville. Lionel opens up the portable DVD player and we see the same frames we saw Martha watch a couple times. They're like, oh, what's it going to be? Right. And finally, it's like 1/500th speed.
Uh-huh.
Because they have a high frame rate camera, security camera filming this.
Only the best.
And it captures the image of Clark saving Lana at the end of lockdown.
There it is.
I got it. 5 points to Gryffindor. So he saves Lana. Lionel sees it. And he's like, your secret is safe with me, Kal-El. Like,
bah, 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 bah.
So not only is he cool about it, not only did he know it already.
Yeah.
This wasn't like, oh my God, it's all solved for me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it. He knows more than he ever would have before.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the Kryptonian crystal. This body was activated by the crystal. Whatever show. But anyway. It's a totally different vibe than if this that had happened a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So, because this is what he was trying to figure out back in Asylum in that that ending, right? So now he knows, and he's going to protect his secret. So this is actually a huge turning point for the show. At least you kind of know where he stands now.
Clark, I'm going to try some small talk first this time, like how Victor Stone escaped from the lab? I guess not.
It's everything that Chloe and I could find on the Machina Project.
Well, there's nothing here about Krieg's renegade experiment I haven't already uncovered. I have no desire to harass Victor Stone. He suffered enough.
He suffered because of you.
Clark.
Lex, you were there in the lab. He told me when they were trying to put a chip in his head.
I was there to stop Krieg.
It's not what Victor said.
Victor was under heavy anesthesia. He must have misconstrued my intentions.
It seems to happen a lot to you, doesn't it?
Do you think he would have been better off if he died along with his family?
You always think the ends justify the means, don't you, Lex?
What I think is that some miracles have a price, but that doesn't make them any less profound. Tell Victor I hope he can move past what happened. Assure him Luther Corp has.
Cyborg, an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman Hope page gave it a 4 out of 5. So, Lance, I ask you, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Cyborg?
I'm going to give it an A because we have the introduction of a new hero. We had a good episode. We have lots of connections to the Arrowverse. We have, as well with that, also, we have the introduction and the addition of Lee Thompson Young, who was a favorite actor of mine at the time. And he did a great job. He's a good fit for this universe, and I think he handled being the Smallville universe's Cyborg very, very well. And also, the Lionel stuff is just A+.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give it an A. I do feel like it was Aqua again on some levels, which kind of keeps it from that same A+ that I gave that episode. But I think, you know, they had a different, I guess, obstacle, if you will, with this character, because with Aquaman, there was like a public perception this guy's a joke.
Yes.
And they kind of lean into that a little bit with his like being a dude bro, so it worked. This one, like, you know, most of the general public didn't know who Cyborg was. So the obstacle there was this guy's a hero and he's important, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as opposed to the Flash, like everybody knows the Flash,
yeah.
Right? So there are different shades of these heroes they're bringing on. No pun intended.
There it is.
That wasn't even supposed to be a joke.
Yep.
So they did a really good job here introducing you to this character, making you feel his struggle. I think Lee Thompson Young had a great deal to do with that because he's a great actor.
He is.
I think of all the superheroes that have come on so far, he's the best actor of the bunch.
Oh, for sure. And also, like, you know, we haven't mentioned it yet, but probably should mention it now. You know, he tragically committed suicide in 2013 related to depression. This is when he was a cast member of Rizzoli and Isles. And so that was pretty hard news to kind of take at the time, because again, he was a very well respected and very fondly looked upon actor. You know, it's tragic when you lose you know, people as young as he was, and especially when he had a long life left, and he had a long career left, because he was very good. He was very well sought after. Didn't have a lot of people say very negative things about either him personally or his work. So he no doubt would have gotten more work down the line. We could have seen him in a lot of things had that not have happened. But again, succumbed to some inner demons and depression. So again, we mentioned this last podcast. If you're out there, you're struggling, there are lots of avenues that you can turn down instead of the darker one. Definitely check on hotlines and definitely talk to people. Reach out. People will be willing to listen to you if you're in that place and help you, because nothing is more important than your life.
Yeah, well said, Lance. I do want to encourage people again, you know, if you have thoughts of self-harm or suicidal thoughts, definitely reach out to people. Even if people that you wouldn't even think will listen to you, you'd be surprised.
Yes.
You know, family, friends, associates, even us, mm-hmm. really. I mean, seriously, if you're listening to this and you're in a dark place and you need somebody to talk to, shoot us an email, right? I mean, seriously, we're here to talk to you. We, like, nothing is more important than your life. And I think that's important thing to always remember. I mean, we have, you know, this is a fun podcast, right? We play in the sandbox of entertainment here.
Correct.
But we're all real people doing our best in the real world. So, you know, we're here for each other. That's the most important thing. So moving on to our tally board, we have a blue shirt, red jacket,
okay,
plus one, because Clark wears his pseudo Superman costume in this episode. That brings us to 32. We have a plus one for hospital visit, because Lana goes to the hospital after a car accident. That's 81 so far. We have a knockout to keep Clark's secret for when Lana got knocked out of the barn. That's 33. We have a product placement, Pete, for the milk. Does a body good.
Absolutely.
That brings us to 9. And we have a plus one for shut that laptop, because at some point in the episode, Martha closed the portable DVD player.
Yes.
That brings us to 16 so far.
Okay.
Bechdel test. Fail, I think.
Yes, because when Chloe and Lana are talking, they're talking about how good looking Lee Thompson Young is.
From 1 to Taye Diggs. So I guess, is he a 10?
I think.
I don't label people that way, Lance. I wouldn't know. So moving on.
Well, judging by how they were going about it, I think he was probably a Taye Diggs.
So there you have it. Good time talking about Cyborg with you, Lance. If people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias.
As for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. Also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue. You can find us on Twitter at UFP Earth. We talk about movies, sequels, remakes, reboots, franchises, and when franchises get fatigued. As for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Always Malville with 1S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with 1S. We'll be back next week talking about Hypnotic. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.
Booyah!
Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Dallas Hernandez, Cafonte Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Casey Cochran, Lex Ledger, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe McIndoe, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Justin Maitner, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Adam Solens, James Bandini II, Jonathan England, Joe Michael, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Nathan Rochacher, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Deinberg, Fress Horshey, and Clunk Kant. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.